Reading to you from the third chapter of the Gospel of John, and with a 36th verse. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remaineth on him. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 53 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, and I've been sharing Christ halfway around the world. Been the director of 3 rescue missions. But the greatest thing that ever happened to me is when I got started in prison ministries years and years ago. I tell you, friends, there's not a Sunday, there's not a day goes by that we preach in those prisons that there isn't men and women who come asking Jesus to come into their heart. That is a joy unspeakable. And you know what? Everybody's not called to go to prison. I know that. Not everybody's called to be pastors. Not everybody's called to be evangelists. But every born-again believer is called of God to serve Him. Now, maybe you're sitting kind of near church and kind of back, not doing nothing. You're just kind of watching. Maybe you've been hurt in the church. But listen, my friend, Jesus don't want you holding any grudge. Listen, I'll be with you for 25 minutes. Take off your slippers and have a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Timothy and the third verse and the first, third chapter and the first verse. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sin and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected, but they will not get very far. Because in the case of these men, then folly will be clear to everyone. I'd like to label this the last days. And beloved, I would be so foolish if I got up on this broadcast tonight and told you I knew when Jesus is coming back. Only God the Father knows when Jesus shall return. And He will return, my friends. That's the only thing left on the agenda that we, the Christians and the church, is looking for. Well, the Apostle Paul loved Timothy. See, Paul led young Timothy and his grandmother to the Lord. You know, I was Reverend Tom Baird's Timothy. Tom did everything in his power to teach me how to serve the Lord. Little did he know God was going to call me to preach. I've told this many times, I'll assure you, I sure didn't want to be a preacher. I belonged to an evangelical church, a mission-minded church, a witnessing church, a praying church. And I thought Tom Baird was probably the greatest preacher in the whole world. Tom, like Paul, warned me of things to come in this world. And I'm warning you from God's holy, unerring word what is coming in the future. Folks, men scoff at the teachings of the second coming of Christ. Maybe in your church they scoff at the second coming of Christ. Well, have yourself a good laugh. But when they fall on their knees and confess that Jesus is the Christ, it will be too late. Let's look what Paul said to look for in the last days. Lovers of themselves, conceited. They worship their bodies, their looks. Don't you know people who, I used to go to a health deal and work out in a swim pool. And here were these macho men and women, excuse me, would sit in front of a mirror and do exercises, and they'd preen themselves and look at their bodies and put oil on their bodies. Oh my, they wanted to look good. But the Bible said some of them might have a form of godliness, but that means they sometimes deny the power thereof. Have you ever been around conceited people? There's nothing more disgusting than be around someone that tells you they've got everything, they know everything. It's pretty hard to deal with people like that. See, being an alcoholic, I was a liar. For years after I was saved, I could not forgive myself for the terrible things I had done. Some of you today cannot forgive yourselves. Some of you been in prison can't forgive yourself. You know, friends, it took me 45 years to forgive my mean stepmother. But I will tell you, friends, before you can be a happy, radiant Christian, you have to forgive yourself as Jesus forgave himself. See, shortly after I was saved, I was having kind of withdrawals, and I was not having a good time. I had a Christian doctor, so I went down there to this doctor, and I said, Doc, I said, I don't know. I just feel terrible. He said, Cecil, you come in here not too long and told me that you repented of your sin and you invited Christ into your heart. I said, that I did. He said, well, let me ask this question, son. Did Jesus forgive you? Yeah, he forgave me. Ah, but you haven't forgiven yourself. Boy, he put his finger right on it. I could not forget the things that I had done to my family and to my friends and my loved ones. He said, Cecil, the Lord requires you to forgive yourself just as he forgave you. And so that day I did. And I'm telling you, friends, it made a difference. Today people are lovers of money. People will lie, cheat, yes, even kill for money. Money did not always bring happiness. Happiness is giving. Read the Bible. You can't outgive God. You know, I had lots of money when I was in business. And like I say, I traveled halfway around the world preaching the gospel, paid for it from my own business. But I'll tell you right now, money does not bring happiness. You can be, some of the most miserable people in this whole world are movie stars. They have everything they want. Money, fame, people worship them, but they're not happy. You know why? Because they have no peace. Money does not give you joy. It can bring some happiness to you, but don't depend on it. The other day on my broadcast, I asked my listeners if anyone had a collapsible, foldable wheelchair that I could buy so I can go preach in Los Angeles, Fremont, Ordway, and federal prison. Because I can't walk that far anymore. I can't walk but just a little short ways, and then my knees just give out. Listeners from all over the broadcast called me. They didn't want to sell me a wheelchair. They wanted to donate me one. Oh, God is good. Christians are good. My first 10 years in the ministry, we hardly had enough to eat. I worked my heart out, roofing, going to school. I'd preach revivals at night. Many times the offerings would not cover even my expenses. But you know what? Those were wonderful times in my life because it showed me that God truly said He would supply our needs if we will do the Lord's bidding. No, you can't buy favor with God like some of these preachers say. Send $1,000, and your sins will be forgiven, your family will be saved, you'll never be sick. Well, that's not true. You cannot buy favor with God. People are boastful. People are proud of their fancy homes. They boast how much money they make. Which brings me to a story of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee said, God, and he went on to brag of all of his accomplishments, and then pointed to the little low-down publican and said, I'm so glad I'm not like that bum. The little publican was so under conviction, he smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, the publican went away justified. See, what the Pharisee was telling God what a great man he was. He said, I even give a tithe of all that I have. I know people who brag about their tithing. Don't do that. You tithe because God asks us to. Disobedient to their parents. Over the years, I've preached in many a reform school for children. Most of these were disobedient to their parents. That's why a lot of them are in reform school. Well, I want you to know, many of those young people would come up and ask me, Cecil, did you forgive your stepmother? I said, yes, I did. Well, I can't forgive my dad. He abused me. I can't forgive my mother. She beat me. I said, well, I'm telling you, the Bible said that you have to forgive people. Only the Jesus living in your heart can do it, if he lives in your heart. You know, my son Greg, he was a thief. He was a drug addict. He was a liar. He was a drunkard. In and out of jails. I spent thousands of dollars trying to help him. Now he and his wife are saved. He owns a 35-acre horse ranch. He has a very prosperous roofing business. That's what Jesus did for him. He built him a nice, beautiful home. But you see, don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. God does not, I repeat, God does not repeat, does not promise, excuse me, a person a Lincoln Continental or $1 million after you're saved. Boy, my throat's giving me trouble tonight. However, he promised you he would be with you to the end of the world. God knows you and who have been saved by his name. My sheep shall hear my voice and follow me. That's personal. You know, over in the Holy Land, the sheep herders would have a whole raft of sheep, goats and sheep. And at night, they'd kind of form a human corral. And they'd put all their sheep in together. And then in the morning, the shepherd would get out and start calling the sheep. And the sheep knew who the shepherd was, and they'd follow him. That's the same way with Jesus. But first, we must know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. You know, folks, many believe the facts about Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection, but they do not know him personally. Jesus said, you can't come to me except by the Father. And I'll tell you something else. He said, he that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. While I was a director of the Grand Forks City Mission, drugs were coming in through the Air Force. I was fighting drugs as well as the pushers. That's why my son got on drugs, and a bunch of young people broke into our home while we were gone, tore it up, stealing my wife's watch and jewelry and my children's clothes. They wrote filthy things on the wall. There was condoms all over. There was whiskey bottles. There was joints laying on the floor. I got on my radio broadcast and issued a warning to those teenagers that I had purchased an 8mm revolver And the next break-in, they would be dead kids everywhere. That message got around town in a hurry. Well, the police finally captured two of the girls that stole and hawked my wife's watch. Well, I went to the jail and told the girl, look, I'm not over here to jump on you. I'm sorry you did what you did, but I come over here to tell you about God's love. And she sat there and cried as I shared with this young lady Christ. Finally, at last, she knelt beside the bars, and she gave her heart to Christ. Well, they sent the other little Indian girl to Mandan. That's a reform school in North Dakota. I drove to Mandan in a snowstorm you won't believe to see that little Indian girl. They brought her in to see me, and her mother was a hooker who worked near the mission. I witnessed to her and told her I wasn't mad at her. I asked her if she'd like to put her trust in someone who loved her. She said, God doesn't love me. God does not love my mother. No, I do not want to put my trust in Jesus. Well, that's as far as you can go. Well, I said, young lady, would you mind if I kneel here and had a word of prayer with her? And when I finished, I started down the aisle, toward down the hall. She ran after me and said, Reverend Mole, Reverend Mole, I do want to accept Jesus. So I led her to Christ and drove home through another snowstorm. Folks, when a person is godless, they try to hide their sins. But sin will always be revealed. Look at Cain, who slew his brother Abel. Look at the sin of Achan. He hid the loot under his tent floor. For his sin, him and his wife and children were stoned to death. They were told not to take any loot, but they did. Like the sin of Herod, it was a result of a foolish promise. John the Baptist had told Herod he was living in sin with his brother's wife. Well, Herod and them got real drunk one night, and Herodias' daughter, young daughter, danced for them. And pretty soon, he said to Herodias, I'll give you whatever you want. She said, cut off John the Baptist's head. And they did. He was sorry that he'd made that oath, but he couldn't change his mind. What a shame. And you know what? One day, Herod was standing on a street, and he looked down, and he saw a man preaching. He thought John the Baptist had come back, and it scared him to death. Like the sin of Pilate, he did it to gratify the public. His wife warned him he need not. He should not do it, but he did it. He was a coward. Christians, I want to tell you something. God is not looking for cowards. Little David had slain a bear. He had slain a lion. And when that great big old giant came out and told him, I'm going to whip anybody who comes around here, little David was always taking some food to his brother who was in the Christian God's army. And David said, what those guys over there hollering about? That's that big goofy guy hollering about. Well, everybody's afraid of him. 9 foot tall. Little David said, I'm not afraid of him, but you're just a lad. So Saul gave him his armor, which was heavy. David put it on. He said, shoot, man, I don't need that stuff. I've already slain a lion. I've already slain a bear by my bare hands. So he sauntered down to the brook, picked up 5 smooth stones, looked at that old giant, and the giant said, what are you doing sending a little lad after me? Well, let me tell you what little David did. He whipped that stone in that thing and around his head and went and vap! He let that thing go and that stone hit that giant right between the eyes. He fell dead. David run up, took his sword and whacked off his head. Let me ask you, friends, are you Are your sins standing in between you and Jesus? Friends, listen. Jesus is coming back. Oh, yes, he is. Don't know when, but he's coming back. And if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you're not ready for his return. But you can get ready tonight. If you've got a tugging at your old heart, and you know you're a sinner and you're sorry, and you want Jesus in your heart, he can take care of it tonight. So here's what I'm going to ask you. If you feel it tugging at your heart right now, and you feel sorry for your sins and you want to do something about it, here's what I ask you to do. Bow your head with me. I beg of you, do not pray this prayer unless you're ready to repent. Turn your back on the old way of sin. If you're ready, here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done to you and to others in my family. Tonight, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone? Call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for money. I don't care where you go to church, but I am concerned where you spend eternity. Friends, listen. I've been doing this for 40-some years on the radio and television, begging sinners to come to Jesus. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Please pray for my throat and pray for my that God will heal this throat of mine. Well, I've got that thrush, and it really is causing me a lot of trouble, and I miss a lot of sleep. So you all pray for me. You know God can heal. So do I. So let's just pray for it and claim it and go on from there. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to stay sweet. You keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming again. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.